Good morning, everyone.
You may have noticed I'm not Byron. Welcome to the First Friday Breakfast Club. My name is Ken Hansen, and I'm the vice president of the Breakfast Club. My pronouns are he, him. For those of you that might not know, FFBC is a 501(c) that was formed in 1996 as an association of LGBTQ individuals and their allies, making any of your contributions tax deductible. To date, FFBC has awarded nearly $500,000 for scholarships that are awarded annually to Iowa high school seniors who have done significant things to reduce homophobia and educate about LGBTQ issues in their schools. We awarded a record number of scholarships this past June. 16 $3,000 scholarships were awarded, regardless of gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, or other protected characteristics. This is thanks to so many generous donors who recognize FFBC scholarships are important to help exceptional young students reach their high educational goals. The fundraising cycle for this year's scholarships goes through the end of this month, so if you're wanting to write a check, we would very much appreciate that. We are on track to hopefully exceed the 16 that we gave last year. And the scholarship committee has been hard at work and are hoping to finalize a decision this Sunday night for a recommendation to the board. FFBC also sends two emails each month, one for the meetings and one for a newsletter. If you're not receiving them, please send an email or stop at the desk and we will get you added to the database. If you have an opinion or article you'd like to share, the next copy deadline for our newsletter is always 2 Mondays prior to the breakfast meeting, which this month is April 21st. Follow us on Facebook, and we do have a YouTube account as well that has past meeting speakers. You may have wondered why I'm the vice president, and that's because the previous vice president, David Cotton here, who has served on the board, I think, since 2018, is moving away. So do you want to say a few words?
Thank you. While I was sitting there, someone texted me and said, you know, it's kind of full circle for me. I came out later in life, met Jonathan Wilson. We had coffee a couple times. He was very supportive. He encouraged me to come to First Friday Breakfast Club. And the first public thing I did, terrified, sat in the back of the room and met another friend that we'd never met face-to-face before, who's a member also of FFBC. You know, as support partners, we met face-to-face in the back of the room, sat at the table, kept our heads down, and felt safe. And that was kind of the beginning then of other things as they happen. And in that time, I've grown and matured and evolved, but it's through the interactions of people like you, the example you set, and the things that this group stands for, starting with the kids. Because now more than ever, that is important, as we know. Every time I hear something across the country, but especially here in our state of Iowa, you know, it's needed. We're small. Look around. You know, we are all part of this group and community. But this has been a wonderful part of my life and the people that I've met, the things that we do, the speakers that we've had. It's incredible. I'll miss it. I'm going to Palm Springs, California. I won't miss the snow and ice of Iowa, but it will be hotter than heck in the summer, but that's okay. I lived in Saudi Arabia for 13 months. That's how I justify the heat. But thank you for everything that interaction I may have had with somebody. I really appreciate what this group does, and we can't let it die. We have to make it grow and get bigger. I look around, I see new faces, which is like, yes, finally. So it's wonderful. So thank you very much to everyone and all the best. And I'll come back through because my mother still lives in Newton. So I won't be gone from Iowa forever. Thank you.
With David's departure, we did have to fill his seat on the board. And I'm happy to announce that Beverly Smith over here is fulfilling the remainder of David Cotton's term on our board. Beverly didn't want to say anything this morning, but her bio is already on the FFBC website. In fact, all the board members' bios are on the website if you're not aware of that and want to know more about all of the board members who are serving on the FFBC board. I will say that when Wade first asked Beverly for a bio, she sent a very humorous one that was not really true. But I look forward to more of your humor on the board, Beverly. On that note, we do have some board members whose terms will expire this year and next year, and they've indicated that they are not going to continue. So if you have the aspirations to support our work as a board member, I would encourage you to reach out to all of us that have the little name tags who are current board members here and express your interest in serving on the board. It is kind of painless for the most part. So yes, John. Correct. Their terms will expire. They have not had any terminal diagnoses that I'm aware of, John. Thank you. We do like to welcome any new people. I encourage you to stand up and introduce yourself if you're new today, or if you're returning from an absence for a while. It's painless, I guarantee you, if there is anyone new attendee this month. Thank you. Any others? Welcome, Joe. I have a few announcements. I want to thank Joe and Phil for manning our table at the Trans Lives Festival last Saturday at the Unitarian Church. I heard it was a record turnout. They were swamped at the beginning. Next week is Iowa Safe Schools Governor's Conference on LGBT Youth. FFBC will again have a booth, and I want to thank in advance Jean and Dave for manning our table at that. The Iowa Safe Schools is also having a fundraiser for scholarships, student scholarships to attend the Governor's Conference reception, and that is the Thursday before April 10th at Big Grove at 5 p.m. They would appreciate your money as well and support of Iowa Safe Schools. For anybody in the Burlington area, they're announcing their second annual Pride is at the end of June, so you can search for that if you're interested in that. Capital City Pride Speaker Series, April 24th at the Temple Theater, will be Mercury Stardust, who is a professional home maintenance technician, performer, and award-winning activist. Mercury is known widely as the Trans Handy Ma'am. So I'm looking forward to that. The Capital Pride Series is something I would really encourage you to go to. Two of our board members were speakers at the Capital Pride Series last night, John Schmaker and Gary Moore. Thank you for your service and for your knowledge during the speaker series. Pride Sports League has a skate social retro party scheduled for Saturday, April 26th from 8:30 to 10:30 at Skate South for only $5 if you pre-register. So I know there's lots of you in the room that still have some 70s, 80s, and 90s gear. Get your outfits and relive some of your youth at the skating rink. The Pride Bands Alliance that Rachel Gulick spoke of previously is still looking for musicians, color guard and parades. Information is in the newsletter, and I'm sure several of you could rock a baton routine possibly if you are so inclined. I do want to remind you again that Capital City Pride has a community calendar specifically for LGBTQ plus events that you can find on their website, and there's a link to our website as well. Speaking of Capital City Pride, we would love to have all of you march with us in the parade if you would like. Just let us know. It's all downhill, so there's no hill climbing. And the best part of it is that Deb will have her ice cream bike, so you can actually eat on the way down the hill too. So expend calories, eat calories. We would love to have you join us to make a better presence at Capital City Pride. when we've marched in the past, we can tell when we're carrying our banner, we get lots of people that go, who the heck are they? Because they haven't heard of us. So your presence marching with us would help that effort. Our next board meeting will be this Tuesday at 6:30. All members are welcome to attend. So if you do want to know what happens at the board meeting, just come to the board meeting and watch what happens. It is going to be held at our home this Tuesday. So please ask me or my husband Wade for directions if you would like to attend the board meeting. And with that, I'll turn to Joe Rates to introduce our speaker.
Good morning. So we thought Greg Edwards was going to be our speaker today, but he got trapped in Washington, D.C. due to air traffic issues, so he will be in later. But they sent Brock Conrad, who is just as knowledgeable, and Greg's on his way out, so he's kind of, you know, end of the year, he's done. So Brock Conrad is Vice President of Marketing at Catch Des Moines. He oversees all day-to-day operations of the marketing team, as well as overall collaboration between the marketing team and all other departments. This includes planning and implementing the media advertising plan and budget, overseeing all marketing plans and initiatives, communications and PR, creative and branding concepts, website and social media initiatives, and marketing revenue opportunities. Serves in leadership roles on many committees for major community collaborations. One of those is he's on the lead marketing committee for the Central Iowa Water Trails project, which if you've not seen it, go down like by Mullets and see the work they're doing already, which is pretty amazing. He serves also on the strategy committee for the Central Iowa Water Trails. And he also serves as executive committee for the Iowa Caucus Consortium. He oversees all the overall success of the Iowa Caucus Consortium initiative. So please welcome Brock.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'll try to do my best impression of Greg. Usually he makes, you know, terrible jokes, so I'm going to excuse myself from doing that. But thank you for having me. And thank you for the introduction, Joe. That was very nice. So this was a video. We'll go ahead and skip past this. The audio isn't working with it, so we'll
Our
go ahead
name
and skip past
catch-
it. But it's a new video that we created, specifically, I think, when we're out just speaking to city council members, city managers, any of our stakeholders in our community. It's a new video that kind of shows the efforts that we make, and then it brings in a lot of people that are champions for us. And so that's a video that we were going to show, but we'll show that maybe another time. But Catch Des Moines, about us. Our main goal is to bring visitors to the greater Des Moines region. That's through leisure travel, sporting events, conventions, meetings, you name it. Our goal is to bring visitors here. When they are here, obviously that has a great economic impact on the community, and then also enhancing that visitor experience. So that's a big part of what we do too, that maybe doesn't get talked about enough, is that we have an event experience team. When people do come here, and it's on the front end of them coming in, making sure that they have all the resources that they need to have a great time here, for multiple reasons, right? To make sure that they have everything at the venues that they need, everything in the community that they need to know about, then also make sure that they feel safe and welcome here too. So this past fiscal year for us, a couple of lead things here. One, 393 events in the community utilized Catch Des Moines resources. 261 events actually happened in this community because of our sales efforts. Our sales team has different kind of verticals that they go after, whether that's state associations or agricultural meetings or whatever that might be. And through those 261 events, it brought in a little over $150 million worth of economic impact to our communities. Also what they're doing, also we're hosting those events throughout the year, but they're also continuing to book events for future years. And so they've also booked over 300 future events. And usually when we book those events, it's usually, you know, 2 to 4 years out, sometimes even longer than that, depending on the size of the event. The estimated impact for that is $113 million moving forward. Who we represent. So we aren't just representative of Des Moines. We are Ketch Des Moines, but we are the Ketch Des Moines region, right? So we represent Ankeny, Altoona, Bondurant, Clive, Des Moines, Grimes, Indianola, Johnston, Norwalk is a community that we just brought in within the past month. Polk City, Pleasant Hill, Polk County, Urbandale, West Des Moines, and Windsor Heights. Some of our venues here, the sports market is something that's grown tremendously over the last 10 years. But the projected growth, I think the last one was, it was like $30 billion for youth sports. And in the next 10 years, it's going to be up to close to $60 billion. It's a big thing for travel tourism, travel and tourism, but specifically for this community, it's something that's blowing up. But you can see here, a lot of communities are investing in these, whether it's facilities or fields. They're spending a lot of money, not only for their own community and their own, children and adults to, take advantage of these facilities, but also for us to bring in these sporting events. Some of the major events for 2025, I won't go through all of these, but you can see a lot of them here. Some of the bigger ones I'll talk about, the Kennedy Theater region, that was hosted here, a lot of different places throughout the metro. Alpha Kappa Alpha is one that was just hosted here. We're really excited to host them. We've been working with them for a long time. That was actually a group that, COVID kind of ruined that one for us, and we had to rebook it and move it back. And we finally got them here, and we were very happy with that. National Bar Association is another one. They had their 100th anniversary one here just last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I'm kind of losing my mind on time here. We'll go through all these here, but Ironman's a big one. National Speech and Debate, I will touch on that one a little bit because that's coming up in June. That was hosted this past year. That's a gigantic event. It's about 8,000 to 10,000 kids. That's not including coaches, parents, grandparents, siblings, chaperones. It's estimated it's probably close to about 14 or 15,000 people that are in here. And it's for a week plus time frame. It's a huge impact on the community. I think we used 64 hotels this past year throughout the whole metro. And so it was a complete metro-wide event. And we'll be hosting them again, and we're working on them again for future years too. Some sales efforts here. So they attend a lot of industry trade shows through various markets. Like I mentioned, our sales team has different kind of verticals they go after. They attend those trade shows and try to get in front of meeting planners. Big focus on the Washington, D.C. market. The reason for that is that's kind of where the National Association is. So that's where a lot of those meeting planners are at. Third-party relationships with meeting planners. A lot of co-op CVB events, so that's partnering with other convention and visitors bureaus like us. Maybe it's within the Midwest, or it's like-sized cities on the East and West Coast. And the reason why we do that, a lot of people are kind of like, well, why would you work with other CVBs? Is when they attend one that's a similar city, we work with them to kind of show them the same things that we can do, and we work together on those because not every city is hosting the same things most of the time every year, and we kind of do reciprocal benefits like that with them. Membership and attendance at these are all industry trade publications, and then a lot of different sales calls throughout the country too. We host site visits, so that's when we get those RFPs in for certain events, which is the hardest step, right? Is get them to that site visits. Once they come here, we have a very high close rate. I think because for one, we have great people on staff that do a really great job of showing them what our city has to offer. But then also, I think they're extremely surprised when they get here. I think, it's kind of the ray gun. I don't know if anybody's seen the ray gun shirts. They've been around forever, but it's let us exceed your already low expectations, right? And it's true. I think, people, we try to market and have them understand what we have to offer. And then once they get here, we have a really great rate of booking that business again. And I think that's the biggest testament to our community. And then also Sports Advisory Committee, that's local sporting leads throughout the community come in and meet, and we talk and discuss about events that we can, that we want to try to bring in for sporting events. And then this last one is one of our biggest ones, our Catch Champions program. So what that is, you know, we can only do so much for bringing in these events, but where we lean on the community is if you're a part of an association, if you're a part of a board or group, no matter what it is, and you want to bring, whether that's a state group or a regional group or a national group, we want to host them here. And so we want our community members to kind of take the lead on being that voice for their associations or whatever that is. Work with us. We will do all the work. We just need the foot in the door, right? So if anybody's interested in that or have any sort of groups that they want to try to bring in, come see me. I'm not the greatest salesperson, but I can get you connected with our sales team and they can help pull that off. A little bit about our marketing. So this is a little bit more my wheelhouse, and I won't go into this too deep because this is, I'll get nerdy with it, but a big thing that we do is leisure market too. So we're bringing in events, we're bringing in, you know, sporting events and these conventions, but we're trying to bring in weekend visitors too, right? We're trying to bring in families, couples, you know, whatever that might be. We're trying to get people to come here and experience our community. So there on the right, you can see it's our advertising mix. In today's world, you have to be in front of people in a multitude of ways, and a multitude of ways within content. People have a short, you know, attention span. I'm the worst one probably in the room with that. But it's very true. You know, we got a video, whether that's, you know, video work through any sort of socials or pre-roll video, streaming TV, broadcast TV, paid search. So people looking for to travel or where to spend their time. We're trying to make sure that we're getting the greater Des Moines region in front of them. And then you can see here our targeted leisure markets. No surprise, our biggest one's the state of Iowa, getting people throughout the state to come to spend a weekend in the capital city. But outside of Iowa, our biggest leisure markets are Omaha's our number one, and that's a reciprocal thing. Des Moines is a very big market for them too for weekend travel. But Kansas City, Minneapolis, Milwaukee a little bit, where I've actually kind of readjusted that to Sioux Falls has kind of become a replacement for that one. But our biggest one that has been a big rise over the last 5 years has been Chicago. It's probably our second best out-of-state market, which has been really interesting to see. We started doing a Chicago Cubs sponsorship on the radio with Catch Des Moines, where we sponsor the catch of the game. Obviously, with the Iowa Cubs, it was a good tie-in. I was kind of against it because Chicago has never been a market for us, and then we started doing that about 5 years ago, and it's just really taken off for us, and it's our number two out-of-state market for website traffic now. So that's really exciting to see. And then as far as interest goes, why people travel, right? So arts and culture, breweries, food scene, events and festivals is our number one thing. People come here for our events and our festivals. Our job is to make sure that they know that that's happening. And then when they are here, let's get them to stay another day or two longer because we can try to show them everything that we have to offer. Specifically something that we've really been trying to push the last couple of years. And I started doing a lot of this work with Jen Crowthers, you know, a few years ago. I've been working with Wes Mullins quite a bit recently too. I know Joe and I were just talking about this, about, feedback that we hear from events that are looking to come here, with, you know, legislation and stuff that's going on, how they feel about it, and do we get pushback? The answer is yeah, we do. Our job is to kind of fight perceptions of Iowa and greater Des Moines, just in general, like we were talking about, like letting us exceed your already low expectations. But, you know, on the flip side, there's some negative negative perceptions of greater Des Moines and Iowa. And so our job is with these events and these groups to make sure that they feel welcome. So we started really working with specifically last year with the National Speech and Debate working specifically with them to give them all the resources they need. And it's kind of evolved from that. But we have a section of our website that has a lot of resources, a lot of background that we've been working with. And we've been working with different community members in the community, whether it's the African American community, really talking about the culture and history with Greater Des Moines and that community. And we've created video and different marketing content with that. Latino with Joe Gonzalez with Latino Heritage Festival. We've been working with him. Asian American Origins. And then the Greater Des Moines Civil Rights Tour. It's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a walking tour because it's pretty spread out throughout the metro. We'll call it more of a driving tour. But we've been working with somebody with the National Bar Association who's local, and then also with somebody with Drake University too, to kind of really get that information out there. And then the LGBTQ plus, that was, again, we started working with Jen originally and been working with Wes. And every year, I mean, we're a sponsor of the Capital City Pride event. But then eternally, you know, we, with the speaker series and all those kind of things, we want to make sure that when people are searching for travel, not only one, they can find that there is information out there, there's events out there that they can go to, but also there's resources that we've worked with Wes and his team on, of people that they can connect with here when they are here in town. Also on top of that, just resources that they know that they can feel safe and welcome when they're here. And so that's a constant thing that we're trying to get better at. For the weekend visitors here, this is a little bit, probably, I don't know if you guys will care a whole lot about this, but I'm pretty proud of this. But so for leisure travel, the blue line here, this is 2018-2019 numbers. And this is occupancy throughout the whole region. And we like to use 18-19 because that was kind of the last year we had, obviously pre-COVID. And then the line above it is where we're currently at. So that was getting out of COVID. Our goal was let's get back to, you know, pre-COVID occupancies. We've not only done that, we're 9% above where we were before COVID. So it's going to show that our leisure efforts are working. We do want people to come visit here. We have amazing venues. We have an amazing events going on. And again, our biggest thing is make sure people are feeling welcome when they are here. This slide here, so we didn't really talk a little bit about this, but how we're funded primarily through hotel motel tax. So our job is to bring visitors here, hopefully they're staying in a hotel, and so when you check out, you pay a hotel tax. It's a 7% hotel tax. We actually receive 2/7 of that hotel tax. Bravo Greater Des Moines receives 2/7 of that hotel motel tax, and then 3/7 of it goes back to the cities within those communities that those hotels are within. We're very proud of this one. This is something that we can specifically show just with the events that we bring in. So it's those 261 events that we bring in. For every hotel dollar that we receive in funding, we bring back an economic impact of $22 for every. So it's a really great return for what we're doing. And this doesn't really include leisure travel and all that efforts that we do there, because it's really hard for us to measure that. But this is a slide that we're very proud of. So this last one, I don't know if this is our last one or not, but this is a little bit, this is a campaign that we did with the Catch Champion. It's called Watch Your Jam. You've maybe seen these. We have these at the airport. We have them throughout. This is basically saying, watch your jam. What are you into? What are things that you want to show off Greater Des Moines and bring your group here to the region and help us do that? And this we already kind of touched on, but and I'm not Greg Edwards. but I'll leave it open for questions if anybody has anything specific they want to talk about.
So, with the legislation messing around with property taxes, a lot of cities are making cuts to cars. I was Altoona leaving Catch the Moving, or
Indianola has put in their 18-month notice. That's it for right now. The rest of the communities, the proposal is for a decrease in hotel motel tax that goes to us. So instead of that 2/7, which is about 28.6%. It's a push to get it to 25%. And it's, for us, we understand because the cities are in a pinch from, it's all, comes down from the top, right? And so we understand that. It will be impactful for us for the events that we can bring in. One thing that isn't, we have all of our marketing efforts, we have all of our sales efforts. But the big thing that really happens, and it's always happened, but it just kind of every year gets more competitive, is that you're kind of buying business. When you have an event come in, you got to offset rental fees at the Iowa Event Center or whatever that might look like. So, they might be like, hey, we got to get $50,000 from you guys to offset that cost if you want to land this group. Well, for us, we do the numbers. We say, hey, this is going to have a giant impact on the community. We really want to host this event. And so we use our dollars, we have a bid incentive line item that we do for that. It will be impactful for us moving forward if that does pass through for that reason. But then also our competitors, a lot of our competitors, especially in the Midwest, that's not happening to them, and they're actually getting more funding. They're implementing TIDs, tourism improvement districts, where they're getting even more funding. So we fight above our weight pretty well against our competitors, but it's going to be, we might have a, an arm tied behind our back a little bit, but we'll keep fighting. Yeah. So our budget this year is around $7 million. Staff wise, we have, I think, 27 full-time employees. Almost a majority of those, like 85% of our budget's spent on sales and marketing efforts, so where they should be. And that's about pretty normal for a convention and visitors bureau our size. That's really kind of, and I didn't really touch on this. It's one thing, with hotel motel tax, with COVID happening, business travel's really died down. People aren't doing the face-to-face meetings as much anymore because they realize how easily they can do Zoom meetings, whether it's, two people, three people, or 10 people. So that's one thing where leisure travel's really, helped us sustain our growth, because it's went up so much. And then also with our convention and events keep going up. But yeah, no, that's actually, yeah, that is there. Yeah, we there's travel expenses for sure, but that's one thing that we try to cut back on. Just like a lot of people else. So, yeah.
Something like volunteers. I know I volunteer at the information desk, but I know you put volunteers for a lot of these activities coming to town.
Yeah.
Plus, like, you can volunteer stuff with registration and this and that. I know that's a big component. I don't know if you can address that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking that question. Yes, so our catch crew that works at the airport and a lot of our events, whether it's volunteers, we need you guys, and they do an amazing job for us. But then also, yeah, when we're hosting these events, whether it's March Madness or National Speech and Debate or AAU Junior Olympics, this year we're also hosting in July the National Senior Games. I didn't even touch on this. This is a giant one too. That's 10,000 seniors, so and they classify seniors as 50 and over, but it's essentially Olympic Games for seniors. It's going to have 10,000 athletes in town. That one's for, I think, 11 days. I mean, again, it's a giant, giant, giant impact. And so we have volunteer opportunities for all these different events. And the cool thing about it is, I think when you host those events, you really see the impact of what we do in bringing visitors here, and you hear their stories of how they're spending their time and their perceptions of the region. And it's a really fulfilling thing, for us to hear those kind of things. But I think as volunteers, you kind of hear it, and it also gives you kind of an opportunity to kind of see the work that we do and really better understand, like, the impact that it can make, not only on, kids and adults that are coming in as visitors, but also just the small businesses in our region, right? Like, you've influx 10,000 people that are spending money for 10 days. That's a big impact in restaurants and shops throughout the community to see that. So,
kind of connected with that, when you've got groups that are coming to Des Moines for the first time, what are your big gets? I mean, what are the things? Okay, we got to show them this. We got to, or the big. What are they most amazed by when you take them there? It's like, we got to show them
Yeah. So the first thing they always show, I mean, those aren't as like fun and sexy as people think they are, but it's the biggest thing is that they want to see the venue spaces, right? It's like, can they hold their events there? Hotels, are there enough connected hotels within that area or room blocks within it? So all the nitty gritty stuff. But then, you know, afterwards we get to take them out and we get to go take them to some, you know, a restaurant, like, you know, we did one last week where we took them to Simon's, you know, and they're just kind of blown away. And to understand that, you know, because Simon's up for a James Beard, you know, award for hospitality. And I think just seeing our food scene is one thing I think that really kind of is a thing that people don't expect to see, or really think that's, you know, going to be that great, and they're blown away with it. It sounds cliche, but the biggest thing that we always hear is the people. It's our staff, but it's in the community feeling welcome. A lot of cities will host events and it's just there. Like, you know, they don't do a whole lot for it. When we host these events and they're the bigger events, we roll out the red carpet for them. And that's why we have such a high success rate, because they feel like it's a big deal to have them here. Because it is a big deal to us, right? And so they don't feel that everywhere they go. They go to Dallas or, you know, even Oklahoma City, which is a big competitor for us. They don't get that same sort of love. So, yeah.
Can you comment on the state boys' basketball tournament left Des Moines to go to games? Like, what was involved there behind the scenes or what happened?
Yeah, I think that's just something with Iowa State. It mostly just comes down to money. I think they were looking, they're basically going to be able to use Hilton Coliseum for free is a big part of that. But that was kind of done behind the scenes. We weren't really given an opportunity to change that. So, but it's unfortunate, but the good news is that, you know, Wells Fargo Arena, soon to be Casey Center, will have an opportunity to bring in a concert or, you know, there's a couple different national wrestling events that are hoping to maybe fill that gap. So we'll bring visitors back in during that time frame. No worries. Yeah.
You get involved with the Krause family and the soccer expansion they're trying to do, and anything you can say about progress on that?
Not really. Our job will be, once that comes to more fruition, that we will be all over it and promoting it. We have been in the past, we kind of worked with them on some of promotional materials that, you know, we worked on those like 4 or 5 years ago that we haven't launched yet. Just because it's, you know, with COVID and the way that things have happened with construction costs and whatnot. So, but that'll be not only the soccer stadium, but the hotels in that region, an opportunity to host festivals in there and possibly move them away from Western Gateway into that area so it doesn't affect businesses as much. I mean, it gives us a whole other opportunity too. So,
like 835, do you have any exposure to that?
Other than that, we've always been a supporter of them and sponsor for them. Not really. I think that's just a deal through the Des Moines Music Coalition that they've kind of, That was always one of my favorite ones. I loved 8035. Yeah.
I know you're not a lobbying group, but when you're trying to recruit conventions and everything, and they are concerned about the legislation, does that get communicated to the hotel and motel owners and the arena management and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. We're an open book. You know, because it's affecting all them too, you know? So yeah, absolutely. Affects everyone. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Brock, for all your knowledge, and especially for pinch hitting on short notice for Greg. It is heartening to know that you're advocating for us nationally as Des Moines being a welcoming place, even if the legislature is not, to our community. With that, upcoming speakers. Next month, Executive Director of NAMI, Ryan Crane, sitting right there next to our new board member. So come and hear what he and his team are doing. June 6th is our scholarship awards, and our speaker will be the Superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools, Dr. Ian Roberts. A reminder, there will be no Breakfast Club meeting on the 4th of July. As much as I know that, you know, sparks are flying in here, We will not be having a meeting on July 4th. We will be having a donor party later in the month. We call it a donor party, but that doesn't mean you have to donate to attend. Everyone is welcome at the party, and bring a friend there and bring a friend here next time. With that, see the website for any additional speakers upcoming, and have a great weekend. And thank you for being here.